Giving and tithing, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Oh, the children can be dismissed. Sorry, I thought they'd already been dismissed. Oops. Acts chapter 20 this morning. Giving and tithing. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. They're talking about believers. I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. In this series, we have been going through and looking at financial management, how to wisely deal with it. If you're in debt, how to get out of debt. If you're struggling to move forward in financial discipline, we've been talking about that here for about the last 5 or 6 weeks. This week, we're talking on tithing and giving. It is a biblical principle, and the word tithe means a tenth. Tithing, oftentimes, I've heard people say, and even my some of my family, that tithing is no longer a principle that is necessary. But tithing, they say tithing was a Jewish law, and tithing is where you would give 10% above 10% of your income to the Lord. And you might think, oh, he's trying to hoard it for himself. I guarantee I don't touch the finances. I don't know what anyone gives here at the church. And you can ask anyone. I don't know what people give. The only person I know is I know what my wife and I give what here at the church. But speaking of which, our giving is unto the Lord. And so it's 10% of your overall that you would give to the Lord. And you might, again, sometimes people might think, you know, trying to be a charlatan and all of that. It is a biblical principle that I have personally encountered back when I was in engineering, when I was in engineering and in university. I had several times that I was at a church that wasn't a good church, but nevertheless, in those times, I neglected to tithe, and God, there were things that happened in my life. And God did that work, and the second time after it happened, I knew that in this incident that God says, you need to give to me. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And that was back in about the year 2003, and I learned that principle, and I said, Lord, I don't ever want to do that again. And God got a hold of my heart. But here in Acts, as we talked about, but I want to show you several things on tithing. Tithing is actually a commandment that was instituted prior to the commandments of Moses. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. It is a biblical principle, and I'm going to have to explain a little bit here because it's going to talk about a gentleman named Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem. Now, if you look in Hebrews, Melchizedek is a Christophany. Christophany means Christ, a pre-incarnate Christ. And so not a pre-incarnate, the pre-incarnate Christ. I don't want to say a because he's the. He is the only Christ. He's the only Messiah. But what it is that God appeared to Abraham in the flesh before he came as a virgin. It's a Christophany. You'll also mention in other parts of the scriptures, it'll call him the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. Before he was due to come for his ministry and die on the cross and rise again, you would see several instances where he would appear in the Old Testament scriptures. And that is known as a Christophany. It's just a pre-incarnate. Incarnate is when he came as a baby, when he was born of his mother. That's the incarnation of Christ. So pre, before that, before what we would celebrate at Christmas time. And so here, it is thought that Melchizedek was that very man with whom, but we see something here that with respect to Abraham. And let's look at verse 17 of Genesis 14. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And so here, the idea again is, who was God's priest, Melchizedek, blesses Abraham and gives a tithe. And Hebrews again talks about, I don't want to go into that, but nevertheless, you find a tithing occurring before the law of Moses was given in the Mosaic covenant, right? The Mosaic, Moses's covenant, Mosaic covenant. You find another aspect, look with me at Genesis chapter 28, of with a principle of tithing. Genesis chapter 28, verses 20 through 22. It is also a commandment that was given to the Jewish people, but tithing is God's part. And there's even this week, as I was reading in my scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 29, the understanding that everything that we have, all of our resources, all of our funds that we have are God's in the first place. God gave me the health to go to work. God gave me the ability to do what I do. And so everything that I have ultimately is the Lord's. And if I understand it from that principle, I will gladly give the 10%. And above that, as we have at church, we have Faith Promise Missions Giving to help support missions around the world. We support a local church here, a Snow Lake, a small church, just a couple hours from us. Then we also, there's stuff here in Canada and across the world supporting men to help get the gospel out and have gospel preaching churches. But in Genesis chapter 28, another principle here, verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment or clothes to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give, what does he say? The tenth unto thee. This is Jacob. So Genesis again, 28 records a famous story of Jacob's ladder, but here Jacob is giving 10% of what he's been given from God back to God. Now, tithing is a commandment that is in the Old Testament. The nation of Israel was required by God, by the laws of God, to give a tithe of everything that they earned. And so the first of their crop came up, they would give a 10% of that crop to the tabernacle and then eventually the temple. But it continued to help the temple to continue to maintain itself. Look with me at Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Leviticus chapter 27. There are struggles, and tithing is a principle in a Christian life that God desires that. If someone wants to become a member, they have to commit that they're going to tithe. And in that commitment, because it's a principle of obedience to God. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. And verse 33, he shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. You also find that in Numbers 18:21. The children of Israel, all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance. And then look with me in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Now this is still, obviously in Malachi, speaking to the nation of Israel. And this would still be under the Mosaic covenant. But the Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Now, our church is supported by missions. We are not able to. We have other churches, a whole bunch of churches, that support this church to allow us to do what we do. Should other people, they give their tithe, but then they give above and beyond by faith, and that allows us to have the church in this community because of people acting in faith. This church is here because of faithful believers. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 8, and the believers here, not just others, but the believers here that give and help this work. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even the whole nation, this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The tithe is still a principle of giving generously to the Lord. The tithe is 10%. Above that is faith. The 11% is faith. In Proverbs chapter 3, look with me another principle. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Just the principle altogether of giving. This really is not a topic. I don't believe I've talked on this in the 4 years almost I've been here. I think I've maybe only talked on it just a couple times. And so I don't mention money because that's not there, but it is a principle of Scripture, and Jesus taught on it, and the Scriptures talk on it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. There are tremendous blessings in tithing. My wife and I, when we were in Bible college, there were times that I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. And I said, Lord, I'm going to give to you first. I gave to the Lord in my tithe, and I gave Faith Promise Missions, whatever the Lord put upon our heart. And we would give. And I was trying to pay my schooling, and we were working, and just, I'd have a car breakdown. I'm like, okay, Lord, here you go. You got a supply, and God supplied. I never missed a payment at the schooling, but we always had food on the table. My wife and I, even sometimes on a Sunday night, we'd go to Dairy Queen and we'd have a coupon for $5 for a burger and fries and a drink, and we'd split it because that's about all we could afford. And, you know, God just provided. And I saw God over and over. And sometimes his provision was say, you know what? Hey, here's a temporary job. Go work it, get some extra money, and God provided. And you can maybe, many of you can attest to the same thing. But let's look at this. Christians are not bound to the law, but we should be generous givers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, as I had said, your financial decisions that you make today, if you spend unwisely, you spend only for yourself, and I'm not talking about giving it to the church, but if you only spend it on what my emotions are, then I'm going to not be able to do what I should be doing. If you are an impulsive buyer or other things that come into our life, and that's why discipline in having a budget is a wise thing to do. And just be principled, right? Principles are good things. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Again, the Apostle Paul really does teach a generous giving. And verses 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians 16. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath what? Prospered him. That there be no gatherings when I come. So that should be an aspect of giving in proportion to your income. It's not asking that we're comparing one another. It's a secret thing between you and the Lord. Yes, you give to the church. Yes, the church knows. And thankfully now we are able to do it with the ability of tax receipts. It may come a time where we can't do it with the tax receipts. Will we still give? I mean, it could very well come to that point. Not only that, look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. I mean, you remember the story of Jesus when he was there and the Pharisees were giving like large sums and they were, you know, kind of just publicizing how much. And there was a widow and she only gave two mites, but that was a lot for her. And Jesus applauded her, saying she has given more than them all, right? The principle is really it comes from your heart. I want to give God what God puts upon my heart to give. God tells us 10% and then you're welcome to do whatever God puts upon above that. But our 10% belongs to the Lord, first and foremost. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know what? You're saying, oh, I got to give it. Well, God doesn't want it. That doesn't matter if it's your 10%. It doesn't matter if it's 11%. God doesn't want it. It ought to be from your heart because you're saying, you know what? I want to give to God because God is worthy. Look with me at another passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, giving, Christians should support the pastor and the church. And that is our goal someday as a church, is that we will leave all mission support and be autonomous and able to support the pastor and the church and able to move forward. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 14, and it teaches this principle. So I'm not teaching anything that is not of the Word of God. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planted the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. If an ox is going around and it's treading corn, you ought to feed it because it's doing the work to grind the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. He's saying, listen, if we've given you spiritual things, you ought to be able to provide for our physical things, right? Provide for Paul and his laborers that were with him. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. There may be some that saying, because you're a pastor, you ought not to take a salary. You ought to do it for free. Pastoring is very hard work. There's a lot of work that goes into it, a lot of things behind the scenes. You just don't, I know you guys, many of you know that, but there are others out there that think, oh, wow, let's go do this and do this. And I'm like, listen, I got to study. I got to spend time. And there's work that goes into all this and spend time with counseling and time and all these different, like Tuesday night study and Wednesday nights and teen group and RU. And I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into it. And the opportunity, and so God gives us that principle. I won't belabor that point, but 1 Timothy 5:17-18 also talks about that. The laborer is worthy of his reward, and about the muzzling the ox that treadeth out the corn. Feed the ox. If the ox is doing the work, feed the ox. If you're at your work, you want to be paid. And the spiritual things of God's house were the same way, and that was what the Levites would do in the temple. The Levites and the priests, they would eat, and as people would give their sacrifices, God gave provision that they could take a part of that animal and a part of the grain and the other things that were given to the temple or the tabernacle, and then they would use that to feed themselves. And so they were, again, the same principle as we're doing today. And now, look with me at Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. This is the principle of giving to the Lord, first and foremost. Now, I'm not talking about like those people like Joel Osteen and others, these multi-millionaires or these guys that are just, they're charlatans. They are ripping people off. People, Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland and all these guys that say, we're going to heal you, we're going to do this for you. And by the way, they don't even have a right gospel. They don't have, you know, exactly, you know, Joel Osteen was on public television, and he said, who am I to judge someone? He's, you know, is Jesus the only way? And he wouldn't answer that question. These guys that are absolute charlatans, they're there to sell you snake oil, but they're not going to give you the truth of Jesus Christ. And so that's not what it's about. The goal is to get the church of God to help and encourage and to feed people, to get the gospel light out and get more churches all around the world. That's our desire. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's that gentleman down in Elmer, Ontario, that's been very loud and vocal about these restrictions. His last name is Hildebrand. The very organization with which he is a part of is a cult. He actually, in one of the videos, the head guy, the head apostle, we don't have apostles anymore, but the head apostle told his people, sell your house, move into a smaller house, and give us the money, because we can manage your money better than you are. That's foolishness. That's wickedness. God's given you that. So I'm not saying do that. It's between you and the Lord. And but the fact remains, laying up treasures for heaven, I have to do what God puts upon our heart.
As long as I'm obeying what God tells me in my heart to do, I'm obedient, and that's giving. Giving is a great blessing, and you really cannot outgive God. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Malachi 3, as I had said, is robbing God. Now, we are not, as it says in Scriptures and Acts, I know oftentimes people talk about all of this altruistic or all of this giving to helping all the poor around us. The Bible in Acts was really helping the poor within the church, and if you had ability, you would do extra. But there was a goal of helping one another, and then you do. But the first thing that people in poverty many times is not, they don't just need food and water. They need to have a change of heart. They need to know Jesus Christ. Now, giving might help you. I'm not saying don't. Give if God gives that on your heart. But the fact remains that people's ultimate need, first and foremost, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if a brother or sister within the church hath need and you say, oh, I'll pray for you, and God gives you upon your heart to help him, and you don't, then there's issues. And that's between you and the Lord. But God promises to really bless those who do tithe. Really, 100% of all of our income is the Lord's, and I'm just giving back what rightfully belongs to him. And God will, if we use it unfaithfully, then God will take it from us or make life more difficult in that regards. So look with me at Acts chapter 4, verses 34 and 35 on this very principle. Really within the church, you would find this giving, Acts chapter 4, 34 and 35. This is in the early church. This is the church here in Jerusalem. They were a church that was under persecution. With the persecution, obviously, if a husband's taken or a wife is taken to jail or even killed, it's going to cause some financial difficulty. If a husband or a wife or whoever's really working and the husband is taken and killed, it's going to cause financial strain because your income is lessened. And so with that persecution, you find that these believers begin to help one another in a tremendous way. In Acts chapter 4, verses 34 and 35, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So there was a needs and a very needy people, but yet God provided for them using other believers to help with that. And the church has our first and foremost commission is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is an expensive endeavor to keep up with the hydro here and everything else. It is expensive. And I know I'm preaching to the choir on that. But the fact remains, we ought to do with what God has given us and obey him in those ways and be fruitful as God blesses us and helps us. Let me go on. Given proportion to income. So it's not an amount. It's what God puts upon your heart in proportion to income. It also is to be done generously and cheerfully. If you can't do it generously and cheerfully, then God doesn't want it. It's just mere ritual. It's just mere religion. God doesn't want religion. God wants your heart. God wants a relationship with you. God wants to know you. And he wants you to do it because out of appreciation. If at Christmas time, as a kid, for your parents or your guardian or whomever you were raised around or someone in your life that you really love, at Christmas time, you give them a gift because you love them. And all I'm doing is giving back to God because I love him. Support of a pastor in a church is giving and keeping our hearts close to God. And I want God's blessing on my life. I don't want God's increased struggles and trials in my life because of failing to be obedient to the Lord. And giving is a great blessing. And my wife and I can attest over and over. And there's things, even as I have said, we went on an anniversary. I think it was our fourth or fifth anniversary. And we were in Niagara Falls region. We really wanted to get a falls view, but those rooms were like over $200 a night, and I'm like, I can't afford that. So we went to hotwire.com or something like that, and we got a city view room. I think it was $75 a night. But it happened. They actually put us on a corner room, so I got the city and the falls view, both for $75 a night, and God provided. So God can do amazing things, and you might think, I can't afford it, but we can watch God provide for us if we will just be faithful to all that God has given to us. And so getting God in your budget, discipline results in blessing. And so the aspect of a budget is, you know what? I want to be able to be responsible. If God came back and asked you how you spent your money, would you be ashamed of the Lord? Or would you say, Lord, I've done it all unto you? That's where the accountability really counts. It has no bearing at all with anyone at church. Your accountability is when I stand before God, he's going to say, what have you done with the finances that I've given to you? That's where I'm going to have to be held accountable. And researchers, this gentleman that's doing this, that did this series, a friend of mine's dad who was a CFO, a multi-million dollar company, he said researchers compared tithers to non-tithers using 9 financial health indicators and found that tithers were better off in every category. Among tithers, for example, 80%, this is what he said. Now, obviously, this is a little bit dated, but 80% have no unpaid credit card bills. 74% don't owe anything on their cars. 48% own their own home, and 28% are debt-free. And so the fact remains, there is tremendous blessings. What if I don't have enough money now? How can I give to God? And here's a quote. The weird thing is, a tither looks at that and says to himself, well, I'm better off because I give. A non-tither looks at that and says, oh, they give because they're better off. Says Brian Kruth, founder of the study in Maximum Generosity, who called the findings unprecedented. Tithers make up only 10 to 25% of a normal congregation. Only 10 to 25% of the people that actually attend a church will actually give of a tithe to the church. Only 5% of the United States tithes, with 80% of Americans only giving 2% of their income. Christians are only giving at 2.5% per capita, while during the Great Depression they gave at 3.3%. So during the Great Depression, when life was at a horrible rate, on average it was 3.3%. As wealth goes up, giving goes down. Now this is on average. I'm but this is averages, obviously, and we have to, in our hearts, ask ourselves the question. And this question, if you're waiting to have enough, you'll never get there. And I remember a gentleman who was on staff at a church where we were at. I asked him, I said, are you tithing? I mean, everything was just, there was a lot of problems going on in that family. They had a lot of marital issues as well. But nevertheless, I said, how is your tithing? He said, well, we can't give. We don't have enough to give. I said, you're supported by a church because people do give. How is that possible? And that family didn't end up staying very long, and there was some real, and didn't end up lasting together either. But the truth of it remains, if I don't have enough, then what am I using my funds on? My wife and I, at times, it was never a question in our hearts when I'm back in Bible college. You know what? I give God first. I'm going to give faith promise. I made a promise. I'm going to support missions. I'm going to give what God put upon my heart to give. And you know what? God, we never lacked. We didn't go into debt. We didn't have mounting credit card bills. We just trusted the Lord, and God provided, and through that. And were they meager days? Yeah. Were there days that I had to do a lot of extra work and do some other things? Yeah. But God provided. And at times I thought, you know what, I'm going to go to the government, and I'm going to get them to help me out. And God always put upon my heart, I don't need to go to the government for help. I'll provide for you. And I said, okay, Lord. And so that's to each person upon your conscience before the Lord. But nevertheless, here's an index of Don Tucker with respect to donations and giving to the Lord. He'll just a little bit laid out for you. In 1977, his income was $8,400. He went to church 2 times per year, Christmas and Easter. In 1978, he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he began to tithe. In 1979, his income was $10,000, and his donations were $1,000, obviously 10%. In 1980, $11,000 and $1,200. Now, in 1981, he moved. He went into business for self with a partner in 1981. In 1982, bankruptcy papers filled out, but he didn't feel right about submitting them. So his income just plummeted, but he's still giving. 1983. A new opportunity opened up in hometown. His finances went down, so his giving went down proportionately. But he said, you know what? I'm still going to give to God no matter what. 1983, his income significantly increased. Bought a nice home in 1984. 1985, things going well. 1986, a business downturn, debt conviction, so he had to downsize his home. Okay. 1987 to 1992, I put 81 there, he paid off his house, $135,000 for the first time ever. Look with me at Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Mark chapter 12, 41 to 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And the blessings that this gentleman has had, obviously his son, a friend of mine, with whom I was in engineering school, he was in business school together. He's a pastor now. His wife and he and his wife are saved, good marriage. His son is a pastor. He's got grandkids. His daughter is saved. God has seen fit in this family. Now, is this the only thing? No. And his wife was a veterinarian. So, I mean, they had the ability in making good income. But nevertheless, there is blessings. And God will, if we just honor the Lord with doing what we ought to do, God will bless. Am I saying it's going to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise as some of these preachers? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that God will provide for our needs. That's the principle. God will always provide for our needs. He promises us if I'm willing to do what God wants me to do. And so being fruitful and being honest with what God has given to us. Next week, we'll look at materialism and common mistakes with respect to finances. But the fact remains, you know what? If we dishonor the Lord, God will help us. God will strengthen us. And even there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, there was some very, very, very poor churches in Macedonia, which is in present-day Turkey region. And they gave to the churches of Jerusalem who were under intense persecution as well. So the Macedonian churches, a whole bunch of churches, gave to help a church in Jerusalem. They're all very, very poor, and Paul felt so guilty to take the funds from them to help the church over here, and yet they had such joy and peace in their heart because they did it as unto the Lord. You know, we can have joy in our Lord, joy in our heart, if we just do what God wants us to do. We do the tithe, and we do whatever above that God puts upon our heart to honor the Lord, help missions, and do all that God's called us to do. And so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. Father, I pray that in respect to our finances, Lord, that we would have the principle of mind. That, Lord, it's yours first. And so, Lord, how we spend it, where we spend it, Lord, we're going to have to give an account on that, not just for what we speak and how we live our lives, but also for how we deal with our finances. And so, Father, I pray that all of us, you'd help us to make the decisions, wise decisions, that would honor you first and foremost. Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.